Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning is written in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter, the first 10 verses. So then, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Indeed, what the law was unable to do, because it was weakened by the flesh, God did when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. God condemned sin in his flesh, so that the righteous decree of the law would be fully satisfied in us who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. To be sure, those who are in harmony with the sinful flesh think about things the way sinful flesh does, and those in harmony with the Spirit think about things the way the Spirit does. Now, the way the sinful flesh thinks results in death, but the way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. For the mindset of the sinful flesh is hostile to God, since it does not submit to God's law, and in fact, it cannot. Those who are in sinful flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the sinful flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. And if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, but your spirit is alive because of righteousness. This is God's word. Dear friends in Christ, I couldn't help myself. My sinful flesh made me do it. The devil made me do it. These are excuses I so often hear from someone who has faltered in his service to the Lord. However, those excuses are wrong. We can now serve the Lord because of Christ. And that is the point Paul is making in our text. He emphasizes that we are set free by the Spirit. First of all, this was accomplished in Christ. Our sinful condition, from the law of sin and death. That's how we were born. Sinners, unable to please God, unable to obey the laws that God had set down when he said, "You obey these laws, you will be my people and I will be your God." But we can't do it. And because of that sin, death automatically follows. When Adam and Eve were told not to eat of that tree in the middle of the garden, the Lord said, "If you do, you will surely die." That is the result of sin. Every person, past, present, or future, will die unless you are alive when Judgment Day occurs. Then alive you will be taken, glorified, to live with your Lord in heaven. But otherwise, the rest of us, all of us, will suffer temporal death. But sin leads to more than that. Sin also means eternal death. Eternal separation from God. That is what we deserve. Because God says he demands perfection. If you can't do it, you will die eternally. That is where we deserve to go because of our lives. But then enters Jesus onto the scene. Indeed, what the law was unable to do because it was weakened by the flesh, God did when he sent his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to deal with sin. Jesus took upon himself the form of a human being, flesh and bones. A baby who grew in knowledge, a young man and an adult who often went in the wilderness to pray to his father, asking for strength, asking for wisdom. When he was baptized, the Holy Spirit ascended or came upon him, descended upon him, took him into the wilderness and instructed him some more and strengthened him some more. Jesus became a man so that he could conquer death. He became a man so he would be under his Father's laws as we are. But also as true God, he would be able to do what we couldn't do. He would be able to obey those laws perfectly. God condemned sin in his flesh. When Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, the sins of all people of all time were paid for. The condemnation that was deserved by all was now taken away for those who believed. Sin was condemned, taken care of by Jesus. Yes, he paid the price for our sins, and that price was terrible. Death on a cross. The most horrible death imaginable at that time. Today, I don't even think it would be allowed. It was so terrible and so painful. And it took time to die in total misery. But he did that to pay for our sins. He won. When he said, "It is finished," he meant it. His work was complete. And therefore, he says, "Now you, as my children, also share in that victory which I won over death and the devil with my resurrection. It's yours too. So that the righteous decree of the law would be fully satisfied in us, who are not walking according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Us, believers, who have now been infused by the Holy Spirit, who now gives us the ability, yes, to honor God, to please God, who now gives us the ability to believe that Jesus is our Savior and believe that all he did for us is complete. That we are children of God, no longer subject to our sinful flesh, but now here to serve God, is all because of what Christ has done for us. What does that mean for us? It leads to total service. And those in harmony with the Spirit think about things the way the Spirit does. Just who is the Holy Spirit? The Pentecostals would have you believe, oh, he is the one that gives us the ability to speak in tongues, to do miracles, to be able to live by ourselves, to honor God. But he's not really God. We know better than that. He's one of the three persons in the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And his job is to bring us to faith and to keep us in that faith. And what means does he use? The gospel in word and sacrament. Word, the Bible. Sacrament, Lord's Supper and baptism. These are means the Holy Spirit uses to keep us in that faith. And when we are children of God, he leads us then to want to honor God. Are good works important in the lives of Christians? Definitely. But the reason behind the good works is more important. Why do you do good works? Again, sinful human beings say, well, we do good works to earn favor with God, and if we do enough, he will reward us with heaven. That's not biblical. Jesus says, you do good works to honor me, to thank him for all that he has done for us. James said, faith without works is dead. So if you're a believer, the works will follow. Not make you a child of God, but to display the fact that you are children of God. And you have the ability to do that because the Holy Spirit gives you that ability. Now, the way the sinful flesh thinks results in death, but the way the Spirit thinks results in life and peace. Life. We're all alive. We talk about life on this earth. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to honor God. I had a lot of students, especially college students, who come back to me and say, "Pastor, I was really tempted to do this thing or that thing. I'm not going to go into details. What should I do when I'm tempted to do this? And I'm not sure whether it's right or not." My comment is, what would the Lord want you to do? Would he want you to give into your sinful flesh and go to this riotous party to take care of all these drugs and alcohol and so forth that are so prevalent on the campuses? Was that what Jesus would want you to do? If you say no, then you say to the party, no. And the Holy Spirit gives you the ability to say no and then to follow through with that no. That's his work while you're here. That work gets even better when you leave this world. When you go to live with him in glory to the home that God has prepared for you. What will heaven be like? Tom, I like that picture you showed in the Jesus Cares ministry. When he showed a picture, and I think it was a castle, but it was on a high hill. It was a huge, beautiful building. When I was a kid, I thought, that's what heaven's going to look like. Maybe. But it's a place that God will build for us. When we build something, there's almost always some flaws, aren't there? Not with God. So heaven will be a beautiful place for us to live, where we can serve him perfectly, and we will. That's life. And then there's peace. When you're a sinner, I'm going to go to a family idea here. When I did something wrong, I was scared to death to confront my mom. What's she going to do to me? I'm worried. She might go in the closet and get that belt. And then I'm going to really be hurting. I was afraid. And that's the way we should be with God because of our sins. But because of what Christ has done, he says, don't be afraid. You now are at peace with God. God is no longer angry at you. Because of Christ, his son, you are now children of God and heirs of life. And God says, I love you and I'll take care of you. So don't be afraid of me. Be peaceful and know that you're at peace with God. And if someone does not have the Spirit of Christ, that person does not belong to Christ. But you are not in the sinful flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed God's Spirit lives in you. We can serve God. Yes, we can. I've had people get too strong on this and say, I want to be perfect. And I tell them, you can't be. You're in a sinful world. But even the minor works that you do, and they might consider a minor, please God because you're a child of God. And God loves it when you honor him with whatever you say, think, or do. I kind of get laughed at when I go to stores or restaurants. I'm going to say it this way now. When a young lady she might even be 70 years old, is coming to the door of the restaurant, and I wait and I open the door for her. And she says, "Why did you do that?" I said, "Because I'm honoring you. It's something I should do." And when the Father sees us doing that, what does He say? "Well done." That's a little thing. Maybe it means a lot to some people. Maybe it does. That's fine. But we can please God. We can serve God. And we're alive to do it. We all have our abilities. I found out Monday when I went golfing, my abilities in golfing aren't as much good as they were. I think my drives were about 20 yards shorter than they used to be last year. I'm getting older, but I'm still alive. I'm still here to proclaim God's word to you and enjoying doing it. And you're laughing once in a while. I know when I grew up, if anybody laughed during a sermon, they thought, "Oh, that's terrible." It's not. It means you're happy. Happy that God is in your midst. Happy that someone is telling you about God's word and how it applies to you. We're alive to serve God. And that's what Paul was telling the Romans. They had a lot of problems. The emperor was not favorable to them. The leaders of the city were not favorable to them, but they were favorable to God, the people. They believed the Lord was their Savior, and they weren't afraid to tell others about it because they were set free by the Spirit, free from the terror of the devil, free to serve God, free to make a difference, because the Holy Spirit is in you to give you that ability. We are no longer slaves to sin. We now are clothed with Christ to honor God. Be strong in the Lord. Serve Him well now, and you will serve Him perfectly in heaven. Amen. Please.